Hey, do you like to follow instructions? Why do you like to follow instructions? I know that there are probably folks today who would sit back and say, well, you know, if you're a man, you just don't follow instructions. You just try it. And then when you mess up, you begin to follow instructions. So as we think about that today, why is it important for us to follow instructions? Grab your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to the book of Exodus chapter 12. In just a moment, we're going to be looking at the Passover lamb. Hey folks, thank you for joining us today. We're going to be looking at the passages that are going to come out of the book of Exodus chapter 12, talking about the Passover lamb. And a minute ago, I asked you the question about, do you like to follow instructions? Yeah, I know that I've watched folks in the past, particularly guys. I'll go ahead and get that out of the way. Guys that will be, you know, got this big box of a million parts. They'll just dump it out on the floor. And as long as we've got the picture, we're okay. If you set the box up over there so I can see the picture, and then we try to make the assembly or whatever it is without following the directions or the instructions. Sometimes we're effective, often we're not. We usually wind up with leftover parts or what have you. And then usually there's somebody there saying, hey, you know, here's a set of directions, why don't we follow those? Or we just completely mess it up, then have to go to the directions. The other question that I asked you just a moment ago is that something important to do? Is it important to follow directions? Is it important to follow those instructions? Well, we're going to take a look at some directions and instructions here in just a minute out of the book of Exodus chapter 12. So go ahead and turn there in your Bible. We're going to begin reading at Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. And the word tells us, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of the month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Verse 4, and if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Verse 6, now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh of it that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and entrails. Verse 10, you shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Let's look to the Lord. in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you right now, we thank you so much for this picture of redemption, this picture of salvation. Father, I pray right now that as we take these moments together, that you will speak to our hearts. Lord, we're grateful that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, I just pray and ask right now that you would be with me as your messenger for these moments, that we would truly lift you up, that you might be adored, high and lifted up. Draw all men unto you at this point. And Father, may we truly go away from this time together knowing that we have been with the Lord because you truly are here. Father, again, we just pray that you would bless our time, and we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, as we read through these particular passages out of Exodus chapter 12, we see this list of instructions. Now, when we consider the possibility of putting something together, you know, that desk or that bookshelf or whatever we got, too often, you know, we want it to be we want it to look right. We want it to be nice, but we kind of do this with a little bit of disregard by not following the instructions. Now, when this thing comes down to the Passover lamb, there were some very specific instructions and some directions that were given to Israel along the way. In our story, God instructed the Israelites to prepare for the Passover before his final plague on the Egyptians. Now, we see these instructions very, very clear in verses 1 through 7. Go back there and look once again with me at verses 1 through 7. You begin to see all the things that he said would come to be in verses 1 through 7. It says he spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, and he said, this is what you're going to let people know. He gave them the time. He says, you know, essentially it's going to be the month shall be the beginning of the month. It shall be the first month of the year of you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, and that this is what he's saying. Here's what you will tell them. On the 10th day of the month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, and a lamb for a household. He was very specific. He said on the 10th of the month. And he said, you'll take a lamb for the household. Then he starts getting into more specifics. And he says, yeah, if the household is too small, and you got to think about the number of people in the household. If the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. So in other words, it's like, yeah, we're not going to be, if there's two people in the household, and you got to think about instructions later on where it says that you're going to consume this whole animal. And if it's just two people, it probably would have been a pretty tough task for them to do that. So he said, what happens is if your household is too small, you kind of combine with the neighbor. You go to the neighbors and say, this is what's going on. Let's share this particular lamb because of the needs and because of the instructions and the directions that we are giving in how we are to prepare and execute the Passover, okay? So then he goes down to verse 5. He said, he talks about the lamb in specific. He said, the lamb that you will choose will be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. In other words, either a lamb or a goat. It has to be less than a year old. And it says, without blemish. Now, when we consider that, many would say, well, what's that talking about without blemish? In other words, you're not going to be out there sacrificing the one that you would try to get rid of anyway. Maybe one that was lame or blind or something. You don't say, oh, well, let's just get rid of this one. No, God wants our very, very best. He always has. He gives us his best. He wants us to give him our best. So you're talking about, you know, a lamb or a goat, 1 year or under in age, without blemish. Give me the most perfect thing that you have, says the Lord. Now, you think about it. These are very specific instructions that are being given to Israel about this Passover preparation. He says that you can take it. It can either be a sheep or a goat. Then in verse 6, he says, you'll keep it until the 14th day of the same month. then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Once again, here's the day that the sacrificial lamb will be killed. It'll be on that 14th day. Everybody will do this at the same time. They will do it at twilight. Then verse 7, he says, you shall take some of the blood. Now, this is critical. This is a very critical point. He says that when you take that sacrifice and you begin to prepare it and you kill that lamb, then what you will do is you will take its blood, and it says that you will put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat. So you picture this family that is making preparation for the Passover at the time of the sacrifice. They keep some of the lamb. They go out and on the doorpost. You can kind of think about that as being the left side and the right side of the door. They were to put the blood of that sacrifice on the left and on the right. And it also says, and on the lintel of the house. Now what the lintel is, if you're not a construction person, is like the crossbar. It's what goes over the top or the top of the doorpost, as many would know it. So you could picture that as you would go through town, just imagine you were walking through town when this was taking place, and what you would see are houses that had blood on the left side, the right side, and the top and the top of the door. And these were very specific instructions. It wasn't just go up there and splash it out there. God gave very specific reasons very specific ways for them to do these things, and he did it for a specific reason. So particularly in verses 1 through 7, we see a very critical and a very important set of instructions and a very important set of directions. And it was important. Now, keep in mind that verse 5 tells us it was important for this lamb to be without blemish. Now, I won't hold back on you on this. I'll get spiritual with you right here, because yet, when you consider why did the lamb have to be without blemish, when we consider this and we think about the Passover from the spiritual sense, we look at this as what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You have to remember, these were the days of the Old Testament. Jesus had been prophesied, yet he hadn't arrived yet. You know, it's kind of like we're still in the Old Testament here when we're talking about this. Jesus didn't come along until we get to where the New Testament is. So you have to remember that these were the people who believed in God. These are the people who were believing in what his plan for salvation would be down the road. Okay, so for you and I in this age of grace, our sacrificial lamb, you've heard that term probably many times, our sacrificial lamb is Jesus Christ. Through his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection, he has completed the salvation for all of mankind. Now, you got to think about this as well. For Jesus to be able to pay the price for all of the sin, past, present, and future of mankind, that meant that he had to be perfect, and he was perfect. That's the reason he could pay the price for you and I, was because he lived that sinless life for those 33 years that he was on this earth. So when you're considering the Passover feast of the days of the Old Testament, it says, make sure that lamb is without blemish. Yeah, that lamb was representation of Christ that in their time would be yet to come. It was very important that lamb be without blemish, that they picked the very, very best, the one that everybody really would like to buy if it was being auctioned off. In other words, that one's the best one I have. That one doesn't have a blemish. This is the one that will be the sacrifice. So you can see how that lamb represents our lamb, Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again for each and every person that has ever lived and breathed. Now, remember, it says that they were to do something with the blood of the lamb. The word has always told us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And when you think about how things functioned in the days of the Old Testament, they would have to they would take an animal sacrifice. They would take it down to the temple. There would be a sacrifice. You have to remember that only the chief priest could go into the Holy of Holies. He did that one time a year for the atonement of the sins of all of mankind. But this was a something that had to be repeated over and over and over again. In other words, there had to be the continual sacrifice of lambs, or as the instructions give in the Old Testament, here are the ways that it would be done. And there was an order. I mean, there was a socioeconomic order as well. I'll say an economic order. If you were poor, then the turtle doves could be your sacrifice. If you were more wealthy, then it would go up to a lamb or a goat or something to that nature. But at any rate, the bottom line was that was not the perfect sacrifice. That's the reason why we don't have to continue to sacrifice in this New Testament age of grace, because Jesus was the absolute perfect once for one and all sacrifice. We don't have to, as the word tells us, crucify him over and over and over again like they had to do with animals in the days of the Old Testament. But it says that in verse 7 that what they were to do was that once they sacrificed their animal, that they were to take that blood and they were to put it on the two doorposts and the lintel overhead. Now, as we've read, we know what the representation of that was, that it said that as the death angel passed through, he would pass over. Do you get that? Passover. We talk about the Passover. He would pass over those homes that had the blood on the doorpost as well as on the lintel. Those that honored God. Those were God's people. That was the symbol. And he said, here's why you're to do this. The death angel will pass over you if they see the sign upon your house. So it was very critical that they followed the directions and made sure that they did everything in order and in keeping with how they were ordered in these particular scriptures. Now, I want to carry over to John chapter 1, verses 28 and 29 for just a moment. John chapter 1, verses 28 and 29 says, these things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing. And in verse 29 says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, now here's this is critical. Let's go back to it. Verse 29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, this has been referred to. Now that's in the New Testament. That is John the Baptist. And that was what he said. You see the connection there. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That was the sacrifice. Jesus was our sacrifice without blemish. Think about his description. It is necessary. It had to be necessary for Jesus to be without blemish, to be able to pay that price for every human being that ever lived in the past, that is living presently, and will ever live in the future. Because of his perfection, he was able to take all of those sins to him with the grave. He left those sins in the grave and he resurrected that you and I might have eternal life. Now, as we go on with our text today, the Israelites were instructed to eat this particular Passover meal. Go back with me to Exodus chapter 12 and down at verse 8. It says, then they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted in fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. So it even gives directions on how this lamb is to be prepared. It says roasted in fire. He goes on and he says in verse 9, do not eat it raw, not boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and entrails. Okay, so when you're looking at that, you're sitting there thinking, well, you know, I don't necessarily like it being prepared that way. Very specific instructions on how this was supposed to be done. And there are reasons for this. Why do you think, or what do you think the significance of the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs are? You know, throughout the Bible, we understand that leaven is referred to as sin. Unleavened, you know, when we think about bread, we think about the fact that when bread is made, yeast is put into it. Leaven or yeast is put into that bread. It causes it to rise. So unleavened bread means, if you think about the days from the biblical days, if leaven represented sin, unleavened bread meant that they were taking the sin out of it. Okay, you start to see the spiritual ramifications there and the bitter herbs. Think about what Jesus went through. Yeah, I've said so many times, it's just the crucifixion is such a bittersweet thing. We look at it and we see all the things that Christ went through for mankind, the crown of thorns, the beating, the spear in his side, the nails in his hands, all these particular things. And he had to drink from that bitter cup. Not anything that anybody would want to do, but Christ did that you and I might have that eternal life. Now, it also says that there was a manner in which the Israelites were to eat the Passover meal. How were they supposed to do that? Look at verse 11 with me. Verse 11 says this. It says, "And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Now, when you consider that, you sit there and think, okay, he's telling you even what they're supposed to wear when they come. It says a belt on your waist, sandals on your feet. See, when you went into a home, it was very common that the sandals would come off of the feet. Often there would be the washing of the feet by the host, and that was a sign of essentially hospitality. But no, you're not supposed to take those sandals off. You're supposed to have your belt on, have yourself ready to go, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and eat it quickly. Yeah, don't sit around and just, I laugh because when I thought about that, I thought I may have had a hard time with this personally because I'm a slow eater. Some people I know, it's almost like where they say, they say the blessing and it's like, in Jesus' name, amen. And they suck everything up. And before I even get my food seasoned, they're done. They've already, they've eaten their whole meal and they're sitting there going, what are you waiting on? But this is, he's told them, "You shall eat it in haste because it is the Lord's Passover." Yeah, be ready. There's a lot of symbolism that's going on with what he is telling them to do as well. Why do you think that they were told to eat it in haste? Do it immediately. You know what this represents. In other words, as you have this meal, the death angel is on the way. Don't sit there and dilly-dally with it. Don't get distracted from what it is that God has told you that you need to do. Now, folks, that is very, very telling today. How many times and how many people have you known in life that have heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ? They know that he is the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. How many times have they heard and felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and yet they still turn away from him? They say, "Well, there's time when I get older, or when I get established, or when my job gets better, or when my family." I got so many different things going on. There are so many excuses that people will say. Folks, the time for salvation is right now. If the Holy Spirit is putting that in your heart and you hear Christ knocking at your heart's door, the time to answer the door is right now. Do it in haste. And he told Israel, he told those Israelites to eat that Passover meal quickly. Why? Because the death angel would soon be passing by. Today, I would tell you the exact same thing. If you are hearing the word of the Lord, if you hear his knock on your heart's door, in haste, very quickly, receive him. In haste, ask him to forgive your sins. In haste, receive him as your Savior, even at this very moment as you hear my voice. You need to do that immediately. Don't dilly-dally around with it. Now is the appointed time. Today is the appointed day. So I believe that's the reason why that they were instructed that you need to eat this meal in haste, because time is wasting. Whether we like it or not, or whether even people believe it or not, Christ is coming back. His return is imminent. If you read the Bible, if you're a student of the Bible, and even if you are a superficial reader of the Bible, it talks about what the prophecies that would be fulfilled prior to his return. Those are all in place. It talks about what will happen. It says that the days will be like the days of Noah. You can go back and read what the days of Noah were like and realize that crime was on the rise, population was on the rise. It says that father was against son, mother against daughter, and vice versa. It was just incredible. Look, everything the Bible tells us reads like headline news today. It could happen in this very moment, these very seconds. My question for you is, are you ready? Are you ready to see your Maker? Are you ready to spend eternity in heaven or hell? Because the bottom line is this, you're going to spend eternity in one of those two places, either in heaven with God or in hell with Lucifer and all of his henchmen. The choice is yours. And even not making a choice in and of itself is a choice. Consider that. Ponder that today. Let the Holy Spirit convict your heart with that today. You know, what did God say that he was going to do throughout the land of Egypt on the night of Passover? We talked a moment ago about why he said you need to do that quickly. Look at verse 12. Here is what God said that he was going to do on that very night. He says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." He says, he didn't make any secret of it. He told them what was going to take place. He said, here's why you need to do this. Here's what you need to do. Here's why you need to do it. I am coming. You know, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt and I am going to strike the firstborn. It's coming. Now, how does that relate today? You have heard preachers all over the world tell you the day is coming when the trumpet will sound and the Lord will call his children out to be with him. The day is coming when you may see the kingdom of God or the kingdom of hell through death. If you died this very moment, your fate is sealed. If you've rejected Christ, you're going to be in hell. If you've received him, then you're going to be in heaven. But he said, I'm telling you why this is happening, because tonight, that night, I am going to pass through and I'm going to strike the firstborn. Let me give you the same warning. It could be this very day that the Lord either calls all of his children out to be with him, or he could call you home through death. You're one heartbeat away from all of eternity. Where do you stand when it comes down to that? So he tells them right here, he says, here's what's going to happen. I am going to execute judgment on Egypt. And all those who have not followed my instructions, who have not followed my directions. But you see, God also gave a promise of what was going to happen when he saw the lamb over the door, the blood of the lamb over the door of the household. So when they were passing through, if he sees the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, he says, here's what's going to happen. Verse 13 says this. He says, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Get it? Passover. When I see the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. In other words, as he was passing through and going to take the firstborn, if he saw the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, he would pass by. Why? Because those were the folks who were obedient. Those were the folks who followed his instructions. Those are the ones that followed the directions, who believed that what he said was going to take place was going to take place. He said, here is your way out. Here's the way you don't lose your firstborn. You be obedient. You follow my instructions. You follow the directions. Here's what you do. Here's the lamb. Here's how you prepare it. You'll put the blood on the two posts and you'll put it on the lintel. And as I pass by, when I see it, I will pass over you. And guess what? What is this called? It is called the Passover feast. Now, believe it or not, that might be for some of you the very first time that you have ever thought about it in that way. That's where it gets its name. The Passover feast. God made a promise that if I see that blood, the blood of the lamb, I will pass over your household. I will spare you the pain, the suffering. I will spare your firstborn. How many times do we refer to, and does the New Testament refer to, Jesus as the Lamb of God, and his shed blood paid the price of our sins? Are you seeing the parallel there between the days of the Old Testament and the Passover and the days, and not only the days of the New Testament, but our time, this age of grace in which we live, concerning salvation, concerning being delivered from death and hell? Okay, I want to share another passage with you. I want to share Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28, and it says this, and then we're going to discuss this in just a moment. But Hebrews 11, 28 says, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Notice there's something key in the very first part of that Hebrews 11, 28. It says, by faith he kept the Passover. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The easy definition is believing in something even when you cannot see it. They had faith that what God said he was going to do, that he would do. And because of that, they followed his instructions. They followed the directions at the Passover. And they were faithful and obedient to do so, so that they would be passed over when that death angel came through to take the firstborn of all the children. Now, how is faith involved in the salvation of the Israelites during the Passover? You have to remember, Christ hadn't come yet, but yet following God's instructions, following God's directions, and remembering that God counted as righteousness, or counted them righteous, who believed in what God was going to do in the future through sending Jesus Christ to be crucified, buried, and resurrected. So I've often said it this way. The people of the Old Testament were hedging their bets on what God was going to do in the future. You and I don't have to do that because he's already accomplished it through Jesus Christ. Yeah, that they were waiting on what Jesus would do. You and I have evidence of what Jesus had done, so we can receive him right now. We can receive that Holy Spirit. We can receive Christ and be given the Holy Spirit along the way. And because of that, that seal, the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb, means that we will be passed over when it comes to death, hell, and destruction. He will call us unto him. We will spend eternity with him. Yeah, if the blood of the Lamb was not over the doorpost of a household, do you think that they would have been saved? Do you think they would have been spared along the way? I can say pretty much emphatically, no. I believe that they suffered the torment because of whether they sat back and said, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe a single thing of that. I'm not going to do that. That's foolishness. Well, they found out that evening when the death angel passed through, when there was weeping and wailing and crying. I bet there was a bunch of people at that particular point who said, you know what? I should have listened. I should have done what was told. I should have made that sacrifice. I should have believed in what God said, and yet they didn't, and they paid a terrible, terrible price for that. You know, how long did God command the Israelites to keep the feast of the Passover? That's an interesting thing. Verse 14 gives us the answer to that. When you see down in verse 14 where he says this, he says, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Throughout your generations, you shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. In other words, this was not just a one-shot deal. This was something to do as a memorial, to remember. Think about it. Today, we still consider the Passover. You know, if you haven't grown up in church, maybe you didn't grow up in a spiritual family, but you've heard spiritual terms. You've heard the Passover. This is exactly what it's in reference to. We don't have to do that in our New Testament day and age. We don't have to put the blood on the doorpost or the lintels because through Jesus Christ, his shed blood has put the Passover on our doorpost and on the lintels of our heart. And the Lord sees it. The Lord knows that we are one of his. You know, why do you think God wanted the Israelites to keep the Passover meal from generation to generation? So it might be a reminder to them that they may remember, you know, whom they serve. They may remember what God has done for them and what God would do for them in the future. You know, it's important for us today to pass on the message of salvation by faith in Christ from generation to generation. And that is exactly what we do. You know, that's why we're here, folks. That's what each and every one of us should be doing in our spheres of influence, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. We are to spread the good news of the message of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. And we're to do that from generation to generation, the same way that the Passover was to be observed from generation to generation. Now, you know, I've always said that as we read God's word, some things we need to look for are some examples to follow. You know, how could you use the story of the Passover to witness to other people today about their need for faith in Jesus Christ? Well, one of the things that you could do is you could relate the Passover, you could relate the blood of the literal lamb to the blood of Jesus Christ, our lamb in our day. You can take this particular passage and you can share that with people along the way. You can answer their questions about even the way things were done in the Old Testament days. But the bottom line was, ultimately, it had the same goal, aim, and an object, and that object was salvation of all of mankind. You know, and it was coming through Jesus Christ, but yet it was being prepared from the days of the Old Testament all the way up until the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What a joy that is. Today, you know, I want to ask you this question. Have you taken the time and the moments of your life to trust Jesus Christ? If the death angel passed through your life today, would he see the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel of your heart? Would you spend eternity with God Almighty in heaven, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, with me, because I'm going to be there when my time comes? Can you answer that question definitively? Now, you might be sitting back saying, well, I'm not going to do that. That's just silly. And a lot of people will do that. You know what? There were a lot of people that did that the night of the Passover who wished they would have followed the instructions of God Almighty, that they may have been delivered, that their firstborn may have been delivered. Folks, I'm begging you today to trust Jesus Christ. You know, if you have not done that, then I'm going to ask you, you're right where you are right now. Just simply bow your head and just ask Jesus, say, Lord, you know, I trust you. I believe in what you did on Calvary's cross. I believe you took the sins of the world to the cross, including mine. God, I forgive me. I need you as my Savior. Come into my life. Save my soul. Folks, if you did that in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to tell somebody, you know, whether you might be sitting in a church, whether you're in your car or whatever, call someone, text someone, talk to your pastor, respond to that invitation in church, and let somebody know that they might be able to celebrate with you. As born-again believers, we love to celebrate new members of the kingdom of heaven. We're not going to bother you or anything to that nature. Please listen, if you watch this online, let us know online. You know, whatever the case may be, wherever you are, let somebody know. You know, it's critical. Maybe today we have been challenged as believers to be about the Father's business as Jesus told everyone that he was in that day. I must be about my Father's business. I must go out and I must tell the story. Are you doing that today? Maybe you need to be like the prodigal son. Come to yourself, come back to the Father, and be about his business. So you know what we need to do today? We need to pray for God to open the eyes of the lost to see the true Lamb of God, and for God to give us the opportunities to witness to those that we will come in contact with. Will you be a part of that team? Folks, I also want to give you the Bible readings for this week. This week's Bible readings are going to come from Exodus chapter 12 through Exodus chapter 17. Once again, that is Exodus chapter 12 through Exodus chapter 17. And next week, we will discuss the parting of the Red Sea from Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 18. I hope that you'll join us. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, I just ask that you would just do something special, do something incredible in our hearts and lives. Lord, may we truly see the importance in following your instruction and your direction in our lives. Lord, in the same manner that it was important that you saw the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, you still need to see the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost of our hearts and on the lintel of our hearts. Father, I pray that as we have trusted you and as we have accepted you, that we would truly be agents to go about sharing the love of God and the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, that others may also place the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost of their hearts and the lintel of their hearts, that we might spend eternity in heaven together with you. Father, give us a great, great week as only you can. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks.